good to be with you. Thank you for this privilege and opportunity. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your continued support of the radio ministry. We do appreciate that, your love, your interest, your prayers, your gifts, and ask you to just pray that the Lord will continue to bless and use that to share the gospel message that many souls might hear, be challenged, encouraged, and led to know the Lord Jesus as a result. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of 1 Peter, not the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. What I'm going to attempt today is what you heard, learned, and know about Romans 6, 1 through 11, is to be able to make the application and apply our lesson to that passage of Scripture. And I'm going to let you do that. I'm not going to do it for you. And you can see how it fits in and ties in and is associated with what we have to say this morning. So with this text in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we say, Christians, watch out for the devil. He says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. May we pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into your word. Challenge our hearts. Lead us, guide us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Speak to us and through us that word that will encourage and challenge our hearts today, that we'll live victoriously for you until Jesus comes. In his name we pray. Amen. Most of you are familiar with Christ's Beatitudes that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 5. These Beatitudes have perhaps done more to mold disciples into the divine image than any other text that we find in the Bible. If you'd like to turn there, that'll be fine. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Some of you folks memorized this in Sunday school or maybe vacation Bible school. Possibly have known it for many years. Maybe can even recite it. We read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Now we could spend some time, a lot of time, looking at each of these Beatitudes. We can supply or substitute for the word blessed, happy. And you can read the same context of Scripture using the word happy in place of the word blessed, and still be in keeping with the teaching of this passage of Scripture. But as we look into our lives as Christians, we can see that this context of Scripture very definitely can mold our lives, our principles, our morals, our character, as to how we live each day. But we must be consistently aware that there is another opposing power, namely Satan, that seeks to influence Christians with his own version of the Beatitudes. They might read something similar to these. Blessed are they who are too tired and busy to go to church on Sunday, for they are my best workers. Blessed are they who are bored with the minister's mannerisms and mistakes, for they get nothing out of the sermon. Blessed is the church member who expects to be invited to his or her own church, for they are part of the problem instead of the solution. Blessed are they who gossip, for they cause strife and divisions that please me. Blessed are they who are easily offended, for they soon get angry and quit. Blessed are they who do not give offerings to carry on God's work, for they are my best helpers. Blessed are they who skip the Lord's Supper, for they fail to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, as he asks us. Blessed are those who profess to love God, but hates their brother or sister, for they shall be with me forever. Blessed are the troublemakers, for they shall be called the children of the devil. Blessed are those who have no time to pray, for they will be easy prey. So we say, Christians, watch out for the devil. Scripturally, we can really recognize this as we look into the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And therein we find these words. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So Satan was very subtle in that he got Adam and Eve to believe a lie, while he told a half-truth. Because when he said, You shall be as God, knowing good and evil, that was correct. But what he was really saying is, you won't need God in your life at all. You can make your own decisions. You can do your own things. You can go your own way. You don't need to have God in your life to direct your steps or tell you how to live. You see, he's very subtle. And so as Christians, we need to watch out for the devil, his tricks that he has to offer us. And we add in John chapter 8, verses 39 to 44, we note these words. They answered and said unto him, Our father is Abraham. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father. They said unto him, We are not born to fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I came forth and am come from God, for neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof. So we've got to watch out for Satan. He's not only a liar, he is the father of the lie. And he'll do anything and everything. You know, we read that scripture that God is no respecter of persons. Well, neither is Satan. He'll destroy you. He'll do everything within his power to destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus. He'll do everything he can within his power to cause you to deny Jesus Christ, to turn your back upon God. He doesn't care who you are. If you're following Jesus, the only thing he's interested in is taking you to the lake of fire with him. That's all he's concerned about. And then we add one other scripture from the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And here we note Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9, these words. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent. You suppose that's who Adam and Eve came in contact with? I think so. He that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was cast down to the earth and his angels were cast down with him. So here Satan is labeled as the great dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And his aim and his purpose is to destroy every Christian on the face of this earth. So if you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, you need to watch out for the devil, because he's going to work on you. You're going to get his attention. Now, I think of the life of Job. Most of you are familiar with Job's life. The scripture tells us in that book, in chapter 1, I believe it is, says, "And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and turned away from evil." Surely a goal that you and I should follow in our lives as we serve the Lord, as we live each day. You know, there's some things about this passage of Scripture that I have a difficult time maybe relating to and maybe understanding, and I'm at a loss to explain it to you. But the Scripture tells us there that one day the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan came along with them. Now, I've got a little problem with that, but as I think about it, meditate upon it, apparently from this scripture, and we possibly could find others, Satan has access to God. Satan can talk to God. Satan communicates with God. I don't understand, and I cannot explain that all to you. But I believe that's what the Scripture indicates to us. And so these sons of God, whoever they were, went to appear and present themselves before God. And Satan was with them. And Satan says to God, "What about that fellow down there by the name of Job? That man that loves you and serves you and lives for you and turns away from evil. He says, you know that man is only serving you because you're blessing him and what he's getting out of you. He has the fairest children of all. He has multitudes of resources and material possessions. He's the greatest of all the men on the face of the earth." He says, "But if you let me touch him and take those things away from him, I'll prove to you that he'll turn his back upon you. He will deny you." Now again, I can't explain all this to you. I just read it in the Word. And God said, "Okay, I don't have any question. I know who Job is. I know of his loyalty and love and his faithfulness. And you go right ahead." Said, "You can take away anything that he has, but you can't touch him." So, Satan destroyed his children, all of his possessions, his cattle and those things that he had. His three so-called friends were really not friends, that sort of blamed it on him, on Job. He even caused Job's wife to tell him to curse God and die because of what had happened. But Scripture then says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job says, God is God. He is my God. He is the one I trust. He's the one I believe. And it does not make any difference what happens to me. God is God, and I'm going to serve God, good, bad, or otherwise. Doesn't make any difference. Has Satan accused you before God? Think about it. Has Satan gone in the presence of God and accused you because of your faithfulness to the Lord and your service to the Lord? 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If we are experiencing difficulties in our Christian life, it could be that we are too close to Satan and not so faithful to God. You see, we as Christians, if we serve God, if we live for God, Satan's going to test us. He's going to do everything in his power to turn us away from God. Now, if you're not having any trouble with Satan, then I want you to note something. In the book of James, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I believe it is, he says, "Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." You see, if we're not having any problems with the devil, that should sound an alarm for us. If Satan is not working against us, if Satan is not trying to destroy us, if Satan is not trying to get us to deny God, maybe Satan already has us, and he doesn't have to worry about us. If God isn't as close to you as he used to be, who do you suppose has moved? Think about that. And so, when we go back into Romans 6, we read that context of Scripture. Brother Bill read that for us earlier. I want you to think about it. I want you to meditate upon it. I'm just kind of doing it in reverse order. Scripture text I'm using last rather than first. That scripture text tells us that we were buried with the Lord Jesus in baptism into his death for the forgiveness of sin within our life and heart. He goes on in that context of Scripture and points out to us that we are to now live for God. Once we served sin and Satan, but now we are a new creation. Now things have changed in our lives. We've turned over a new leaf. We are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit to live victoriously for the Lord Jesus. Our life has now changed. We're to reckon our bodies dead unto sin and alive to God, that we can live for Him, honor and glorify and magnify His name. So, Christians, watch out for the devil. If you're living for the Lord, serving the Lord, and he hasn't worked on you yet, you can be sure he will. And he doesn't care how he has to do it. He's no respecter of persons. He'll destroy you. He'll use any method. He'll find the weakest link in the chain that's in your life. Mine may be this, yours possibly something else, but he'll find and know the weakest link in our faith, and he will attack it to destroy us. So, as a Christian, what is your relationship with the Lord? How close are you to God? Are you really living for the Lord? Are you receiving the accusations of Satan before God because of your good Christian life that you're living? If that's not happening, possibly you need to make a change. Maybe you need to come back to God. Ask God to forgive and cleanse through that precious blood of Jesus, and to empower you through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." That's what's supposed to stimulate us. It's not alcoholic beverages that we're supposed to depend upon and use to stimulate us, but it's the Holy Spirit of God who possesses. You notice I said who possesses. I didn't even say who indwells, although that's true. You see, God's Spirit is not only to indwell us. God's Holy Spirit is to possess us, and we are His under His direction, His leadership, His teaching, His power, His training, that our lives will glorify God. So, Christian friends, watch out for the devil. He's after you. If you're not a Christian, Satan is just so happy and thrilled. And may I offer to you someone that can change all of that in your life? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, that taketh away your sin. If you will own Him and have Him in your life and heart as your Savior. So we encourage you to, through faith, accept Jesus. Confess His name as Savior and Lord. Turn away from the sin in your life, never to walk that way again. Be buried with the Lord Jesus through that watery grave of baptism, that those sins can come in contact with the blood of Jesus that washes away the sin, and that your life can be made new through the power, the regenerating power of God's Holy Spirit to make you a new creation and to indwell within your body to give you victory as a child of God. Do you have some need of the Lord this morning in your life for the Lord that needs to be publicly expressed? If so, we invite you to come to Him as we stand together and sing our song of invitation. May we stand, please.